You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Johnson Controls has been a part of Milwaukee for almost as long as the city has existed. It remains one of the largest companies in the area, despite the fact the company moved its headquarters overseas. But that's all about to change. The company announced it will be closing its Milwaukee campus and moving all operations to another campus in Glendale. Tom Dakin has been covering the story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins me now to talk about it. Tom, thank you so much for joining us once again here on Lake Effect.
Thank you, Troy.
Johnson Controls has had this really interesting ongoing saga here in Wisconsin. It seems like it's been this continual churn of moving jobs away from Milwaukee and to other places, perhaps most notably when the company changed its headquarters to Cork, Ireland. So I'd like to take a step back and really look at the big picture. Historically, what has Johnson Controls meant to the city of Milwaukee?
Well, Johnson Controls has been one of the signature companies, really, for the state of Wisconsin and for the Milwaukee area. It has longstanding roots here going back to the late 19th century. The Controls name comes from the invention of what is the thermostat and controlling temperatures within buildings. And from that, Johnson Controls evolved into a very large global business that manufactured controls for heating, air conditioning, ventilation, and then later things like security systems and other systems for both homes, but mostly for larger commercial buildings, offices, hospitals, hotels, those sorts of things. And I believe it was in the 90s when Johnson Controls took a bigger step into the business of supplying components for the automotive industry. Johnson Controls already had developed a battery division that was creating car batteries, but then it also started creating car interiors, seats, essentially, that it would then sell to General Motors, Ford, all the big auto manufacturers. That business became less profitable. Margins became thinner as competition intensified, particularly with both domestic and foreign automakers. And the company really started changing roughly about 5 or 6 years ago.
That's around the time Johnson Controls moved to Cork, Ireland. Of course, they're no longer a Fortune 500 company because their headquarters are outside of the U.S. A variety of things changed at that time. What did that mean for Wisconsin? What was the impact on Wisconsin and Milwaukee more specifically?
It's really interesting to consider that as late as 2015, Johnson Controls was considering the development of a new downtown office tower on Milwaukee's lakefront, essentially at Clybourne and Lincoln Memorial Drive. And the company then had around 3,000 Milwaukee area employees. A year later, in 2016, Johnson Controls merged with Tyco International. And that's when the merged company located its headquarters in Ireland to reduce its tax bill, of course. And it was later that year in 2016 that Johnson Controls then spun off that automotive seating business we talked about earlier. That company is now known as Adient. And any jobs connected to that were here locally no longer exist. You then also had, a few years later, Johnson Controls getting out of the automotive battery business. However, it's interesting, when they spun that business off, it ended up keeping a large presence here in the Milwaukee area, specifically at the Glendale campus, where that business, which is now known as Clarios, leases close to 300,000 square feet at the Glendale campus from Johnson Controls. So we do still have a lot of jobs there, but they're not Johnson Control jobs, they're Clarios jobs, for whatever that's worth.
Well, and of course, Johnson Controls is moving from downtown to Glendale. As they do that, what is that going to mean for the company?
Well, for the company, I think it's an attempt to reduce their costs, quite simply. We mentioned earlier that Johnson Controls, back in 2015, when they were contemplating this downtown office tower, had around 3,000 Milwaukee area employees. That's now down to around 2,000 Milwaukee area employees. And it's split between 1,300 at that downtown office complex, which is roughly one block on the east side of downtown, and really only about 700 or so employees at the Glendale campus, where Johnson Controls has buildings that total over 450,000 square feet on 33 acres. In other words, they have these buildings in Glendale that are really underused. And it really, from a financial standpoint, it makes sense to consolidate at one location. And I think the obvious location is Glendale, where they have lots of underused space. I think they also see a chance to showcase the Glendale campus as a place for their products and services, their various building control products and services. So you have that advantage of showcasing their operations there.
As you say, it seems like there's a lot of benefits for Johnson Controls, but of course, people in Milwaukee are going to be looking at this in the context of this is a company that's taking jobs from the center of Milwaukee and moving them into the suburbs. What could that move away from downtown mean for the city?
Almost immediately, it's going to mean within a few years, we're going to have seven buildings totaling more than 420,000 square feet that are going to be available for new uses. Now, Johnson Controls has said that once they sell these buildings, and we don't know who the buyer is yet, they've just started the process of marketing them. But once they sell these buildings, Johnson Controls will lease them back for up to 2 years as it moves its operations from downtown to Glendale. So it's not like they're going to leave immediately, but eventually those buildings are going to be available for new uses. And I suspect office is not the highest and best use for those properties anymore. We have a lot of surplus office space right now in downtown Milwaukee. And with the pandemic and employers realizing that they may not necessarily need as much office space as they previously expected to have because of the ability of people to work remotely, you're going to have probably more surplus office space on the market. So I would not be surprised if at least a portion of those buildings are converted to residential uses. We still seem to have strong demand for housing apartments, particularly higher end apartments throughout the downtown area. And that I think would be a logical outcome of those building sales.
What is the marketability of pretty massive buildings downtown? Because it seems like a lot of developers, either they're taking really historic spaces like the Plankinton Mall and redesigning those, and you know they're buying them for the history and the architecture. But with a building like these, would they really be converting them, or is this a kind of teardown project?
It's a mix, I think, of both. If you can envision that block of buildings, the eastern end of the block, you have a really what I think is, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? But a pretty attractive mid-rise historic building. I think it's about six or seven stories. And it dates back, I believe, to the 1890s. And I think that's the kind of building that often lends itself really well to what you're just describing, these historic preservation conversion projects. Next to it, you have a newer building, the Johnson Controls, I think they call it the Brengel Technology Center. That opened about 20 years ago. That's a newer office building, but it really, by today's standards, is probably already obsolete to some extent. And that also could be a very strong conversion candidate. And then you have some lower rise buildings on the western end of the block of maybe three, four stories. And those are buildings that I could speculate in here, but I could usually see those being demolished and not having as greater value as those two other buildings.
I guess time will tell.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect once again and sharing your work.
I always enjoy being here. Thanks, Joy.
Tom Dakin covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can find our previous conversations about development in Milwaukee at WUWM.com, including a look at how the city's hotels and event spaces are handling this pandemic.